Welcome. Well, you are at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. You know, we would love to hear from you, so you can send us an email with your question or your comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com and check us out on Facebook. Today, we're exploring family life, specifically the role of men in a Catholic family. So the question for today's show is this: what are some key attributes of the Catholic family man? And I had the honor of living with a Catholic family man who is making me holy. Yes. I also wanted to say that today, because God is great and wonderful, that today is the anniversary of Jim's heart attack 10 years ago.
This day, that's
right? So today, 10 years ago, you had a massive heart attack and we almost lost you. It was the widow's maker. Yeah. And thank you, Jesus, that I did not become a widow. Yeah. And it was an event, for
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. One of the interesting things, though, this is St. Blaise Day, who deals with the throats and healing, that the only indicators I had that something was wrong with me wasn't a pain down the shoulder or a pain
or
in the chest.
Your arm.
I had a freezing throat 3 days before my heart attack, and then the day of my heart attack, I was out jogging and everything else. It's just like you ate a bunch of ice cream and you're frozen
and
in your neck.
Throat.
And a couple of days before, because they did the St. Blaise blessing on like a Sunday, and it was the following
week.
At
the cathedral.
And so I got that blessing. I'm saying, something's wrong with my throat, you know, that's freezing. Mm-hmm. And so they put the sticks across my throat, prayed for the throat, and then shortly thereafter, I had this heart attack, 100% blockage in the widowmaker. Somehow survived that by the grace of God. But I feel like St. Blaise was involved with that because his whole thing was saving this young boy. Either he was choking on a bone or something was going on. So he had pain in his throat, but he didn't die of it because of St. Blaise. I feel a similar thing that I said to you this morning. Why couldn't St. Blaise just take it all away? I didn't have the heart attack, you know what I'm saying? But it was very similar to what happened with the boy, that he was dying of this, and I was dying. And that was the indicator, and somehow, you know, my life was spared, and I thank God for the 10 years God's given me.
And then we also had the privilege of Father John Paul was going around the network today, because it is St. Blaise Day, and blessing everyone's throats.
Yeah.
And he came to us in the green room, and he blessed our throats, and Gina, our makeup lady, and so we're extremely grateful for that. I'm glad that you're alive and you've been a profound witness of being a Catholic family man right before my eyes. And what are some of those attributes?
Yeah.
And for me, you are holy, you are faithful, you are prayerful, you're a man of great integrity, you have outstanding virtues. You have great fortitude in your character. And there are ways in and above Jim Pinto, you will not be moved. And that makes me very secure because I kind of know where you're coming from with things. You're very brave. You know, you walked away from 22 years of a ministry as an Episcopal priest because you loved Jesus more than that. And he said to Jim, come and follow me. And we left the land and became Catholic. You reverted, and I'm a convert. And you know, you witnessed that for me. You did that. I watched you. I was like, you're going to do this? Great courage.
No, thank you for so many. That's beautiful. I didn't know you were going to say all those things. Thank you.
Thank you.
We want to hear from you, especially if you're a wife, a mother, about your husband, about that father. If you're a guy you want to call in, what are the attributes? What are some of the key things about a Catholic family man? What makes him uniquely a godly man as a Catholic? Would you call us? Would you email us? Would you Facebook us? And we want to hear what you have to say about so important a reality. We'll be right back. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, let's continue exploring the role of men in the context of a happy, healthy Catholic family. So today's question is this: what are some key attributes of a Catholic family man? And one of the beautiful ways that you model that for us, and you've written a prayer, and it's called the Face Prayer. And do you want to read it?
Yeah, let me say this in terms of attributes. One of the key things, and the Lord led me in this, was that I really want to honor the mediation of Jesus Christ. He's the only mediator and advocate. He allows others to do mediation, but he's it. And so somehow God led me to say, I have no right to think, speak, or touch my wife or my children or anybody else, my friends or enemies, without honoring the mediation of Jesus. He's always mediating between us, but I don't honor that mediation. I just relate to people directly, which is okay sometimes, lots of times it's not. So I've come to the place where I realize Christians, Catholics, we should not relate directly to any human being except through Jesus. And this is a prayer that Joy and I pray each day. And this is what builds up, this, to me, the essence of what it means to be a Catholic family man, is that it's Jesus's way, not my way. So the prayer goes like this. Heavenly Father, I embrace your grace this day so that I might not think of another, speak to another, or touch another without first looking for your face in the other. I ask all this through Jesus Christ, God incarnate, God with skin, God made poor, God with a face. Amen. So many of you have asked for a prayer card with that. We've sent them to you. They're all over the world. And I think it's a way, it's not just a prayer, it's a lifestyle. And it reminds me, Jim, you can't look at yourself or anybody else, your wife, your children, without going through Jesus. What does he want? What does he see? What's going on here? Not just what you see, what you think. And so you can get that at jimandjoypinto.com, jimandjoypinto.com, or our email address with our show.
Right.
Yeah.
So we have on the phone Jim Havens, and Jim has been on our show before. Yeah. He's a Catholic husband, he's a father, and he is a speaker. And we are excited to hear his input on being a Catholic family man.
Strongly recommend Jim's website as well, jimhavens.com. Jimhavens.com, a great website. He also heads up the Men's March. He's also got a podcast, The Simple Truth, jimhavens.com. Jim, thanks so much for joining us today. It was great to have you on the show sometime back. Pray that you and Becky and your precious family are all doing well.
Yes, we are well. Thank you, Jim and Joy. What a blessing. And praise God for him giving us these past 10 years with you still here, Jim. So thanks be to God.
Thank you. Well, you know, the question of the day I really got pretty much from your website, because you do so much on what it means to be a Catholic family man. So I thought, let me have you on for a few minutes. So Jim, maybe it's for you or for others, however you want to share about it, but what are some of the key attributes, or maybe one key attribute, that you think is so critical to be a good Catholic family man? Your thoughts.
Sure. Yeah, when I think about it, I guess the first thing that comes to mind is making sure that we are oriented towards the goal, towards the right goal, that this isn't about really trying to do something for ourselves first and foremost, but we're trying to really give ourselves away for the good of others. We're trying to love in the image that our Lord Jesus shows us, to love our wives well, love our children well. And this entails certain things. And if we're going to get it right, then we definitely need to start, I believe, with humility. And that is to really submit ourselves to Almighty God, to the Jesus Christ, to all that he has revealed to us through his Catholic Church. And that is to really make sure that that we are really open to receiving him and all that is of him and his holy will. We want to do it his way, much like you're saying. If we're doing it on our own, we're in big trouble. But by his grace, for his glory, we can do things that are, well beyond what we would consider even our own limits. So our wives, our children, they deserve the best. They deserve Jesus, and they deserve Jesus alive in us as much as is possible. So I think all that begins with us humbling ourselves and trying to maintain that disposition and really seeking to receive God's love, to love him back, and then to really allow that to overflow in our relationships with our wives and our children.
Yeah, that reminds me of that scripture from Philippians, that he who was in the form of God did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he humbled himself, taking the form of a servant, sacrificing his life upon the cross. How do you make yourself aware each day that humility is central to what you're doing as a husband, as a father? Any particular practice about that? How do you bring that forth? How do you keep yourself remembering that?
Sure. I think it's a commitment to daily prayer. And let me just add, I mean, it's interesting you bring that scripture up. That's actually a scripture that Becky and I, we discerned for our wedding mass. So that was one of the readings at our wedding mass. And because, yeah, we saw in that, that's what we're called to, right, is to really strive to put one another first, yes, as we see in the image of our Lord. So, we've got to, if we really want to receive his love and love him back, if we're really going to enter into that relationship of love with God, then that means we want to be with him. We want to talk with him. We want to listen to him. We want to spend time with him. So that's our commitment to daily prayer. And for me, the rosary, the Holy Rosary, is right at the center in the relationship with Our Lady, with our Blessed Mother Mary, who is better than Mary to help us to learn humility and to have that right disposition of heart to really be well-directed toward our Lord Jesus, to receive him and to be faithful and to live from that relationship. So, to me, I think the Holy Rosary is very, very helpful in meditating on all those mysteries. We see all the virtues there, and certainly we see humility.
Jim, thanks so much for being with us today. Everybody can go to jimhavens.com. He leads the men's march in various places throughout the country, and he's got his own podcast, The Simple Truth. God bless you, Becky, and your precious family. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jim.
So sweet. Well, you know, I think for a beautiful witness of a Catholic man, and you've done that so well, not just with our children when they were growing up, but also with our son-in-laws, with our sons, and the power and the influence of a father in the spiritual formation, in the emotional formation, the physical formation of children's lives. In our house, not praying every day, we circled up for prayer. It was non-negotiable. Right. Like, you didn't wake up and go, I don't feel like doing that. That wasn't going to happen. You never in our house decided you weren't going to go to church that day because you didn't feel like it. It was just like non-negotiables that were set in stone, that everybody, that you modeled. So we're going to church to worship God because we need Jesus. We need God. We need him to make us holy. And then the beautiful witness of being a protector and a provider of the way of St. Joseph that you've lived. And even when you were a Protestant pastor, you led a men's retreat, and St. Joseph was so important in the formation of the other men, which is, as women, we love that. I need all of those qualities. I know who I am as a wife and as a woman and as a daughter of God. And I like that role, who God made me to be. And I celebrate me, and I celebrate more who you are as a holy man of God on that journey. And now to our grandsons, and we've had Father Dr. Ray Guarendi on our show talking about the importance when a father goes to church and leads the family as opposed to a mother, how greater the statistics are that the children won't fall away from their faith journey.
That's beautiful.
So for all those things, thank you.
We have a comment here. A Catholic family man is one who places God before all and manifests commitment to his wife and children in both practical and unseen ways. He embraces Jesus Christ, the teachings of the church, and leads the family in that way. Claudia from Medford, Massachusetts. Yeah, there's a lot of dynamics there. Mm-hmm. So it's not just what it's, you know, that intimacy with Christ each day, but then also the teachings of the Catholic Church. So what mm-hmm. makes a man uniquely a Catholic family man is the teaching of the Church. Mm-hmm. So both Protestants and Catholics speak about commitment to Jesus, his Lordship, but the Catholic Church really lays out some obligations. It lays out how we should pray. It mm-hmm. lays out what we believe. It lays out a moral teaching. So it's not just me and Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's the church that Jesus Christ established. And it speaks to us about how a man should manifest love to his wife mm-hmm. at every level, and what's chaste, what's upright in that, and that we should be practicing that. So it can't just be it's me and Jesus. It's right. me, Jesus, and the teaching of the Catholic Church. It's the sacraments of the church. It's going to worship the Lord. It's bringing the children when they mm-hmm. feel like it, or if they don't, or if you don't feel like it,
right.
that you go. That going to Mass on Sunday is an obligation. That isn't so in the Protestant churches right. that I've been associated with. Mm-hmm. So you can just do something at home and do whatever you want to do. It's kind of like, what do you mean obligations? Oh, that sounds so legalistic. Well, there are obligations, whether you're Protestant or Catholic, in marriage. Mm-hmm. You just don't stay out all night or whatever you're going to do. You celebrate, you know, your wedding day. There's obligations that you have as a man.
Right.
And we're wedded to Christ. There are obligations for us in the church.
Well, and I think the beautiful thing is in marriage and in the witness and the power of the family, with the sacraments of the Catholic Church, we get to model that. Even now that our children are grown and they're out, we still practice the sacraments. We're still on this journey mm-hmm. to holiness. We get to go to confession. We get to go to adoration together. We get to go to, up for the Eucharist and believe that Jesus, when we receive him, he's going to change us and empower us to become the people that he is desiring mm-hmm. us to be.
So thanks for your participation. May the men especially be blessed. Women, Joy's blessed me so much. I didn't know what she was going to be saying today. But show respect for your husband. You know, nobody's perfect. And anything you can affirm and see, it's so easy to look at the things that we can be critical about. But affirm anything and everything you see that's good, and thank your husband, that father in the household. So we'll be right back. There's plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, before we wrap up today's show, we are going to hear from beautiful Joan Lewis about her perspective on the recent papal events and the Feast of the Presentation. Joan?
Well, greetings from Rome on this feast day of St. Blaise. What a great story this saint has. And of course, it's traditional on this day to have your throats blessed. I hope you've had the time to do that. And I've always had that done during or after Mass on this feast day. And speaking of traditions, let's go back to this weekend, because Pope Francis celebrated First Vespers on Saturday evening about 5 o'clock for the Feast of the Presentation and the 29th World Day of Consecrated Life. Now, this was in St. Peter's Basilica, of course, and this is a feast also known as Candlemas Day because of the extensive use of candles during the various liturgies. And this marks the Feast of the Presentation of the child Jesus, baby Jesus, in the temple, and also the purification of Mary, because Mosaic law mandated that mothers be purified 40 days after a birth. Now, the Holy Father addressed several thousand members, men and women, religious, and it concentrated his talk on the evangelical councils of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And he said, consecrated men and women become bearers of light in today's world when they faithfully live out these three evangelical councils. And by the way, the actual jubilee for consecrated life is going to be later in the year. That's going to be in October. Now, earlier Saturday morning, Pope Francis presided at his second Jubilee Saturday audience. This was in the Paul VI Hall, and there was an overflow crowd of pilgrims in the Vatican Basilica. Now, as the Pope entered the hall, he avoided an incident, had an unsteady moment, because the cane that he frequently uses when he walks, the top part of the cane broke off and fell on the floor of the Paul VI hall. But of course, he always has assistants nearby. They were right there, and they actually helped the Holy Father avoid a stumble. Now, what the Pope focused on in his talk to the pilgrims that day was conversion, a change of direction, and also he spoke of the transforming power of faith. He said, "For us too, the experience of faith has been stimulated by encounters with people who have been able to make a change in life, so to speak. They have entered into God's dreams." Well, what he means was God's dreams for them, for each of us. And the Pope said, in the Gospel, the figure of Mary Magdalene stands out above all others for this, because Jesus healed her with mercy and she changed. "Sisters and brothers," said the Pope, "mercy changes. Mercy changes the heart. And for Mary Magdalene, mercy brought her into God's dreams for her, and gave her a purpose to her journey." So, a very stimulating talk on Saturday. And then let's move ahead to Sunday. Yesterday, of course, the actual feast of the presentation at the Angelus. The Holy Father highlighted the words of Simeon and Anna at the presentation of Jesus in the temple. He said, "Their recognition of Jesus as the fulfillment of God's promise underscores the radical newness of this moment. God is present among his people, not as someone dwelling within four walls, but he came down as a man to live among men." So we say to that, amen, and indeed, Emmanuel, God with us. On those words, back to you.
Joan, thanks so much. You always have a beautiful way of summarizing the teachings and doctrines and what's going on there in Rome. Thank you so much for your contribution. It's wonderful to speak today about the attributes of a godly Catholic man. May God pour them out upon the men in our families. The Word of God says, be submitted to one another out of reverence for Christ. We are servants of one another, husband and wife, father and mother of the children. Be servants of one another out of reverence for Christ. Man, in a special way, is the leader and has headship in the family, as Christ was the head, who laid down his life, who sacrificed his life, who took the leadership in laying down his life for his bride, the church. God bless you. God bless all of your loved ones. You're an important part of this EWTN family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.